Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. We've been talking about tithing, giving, and the scriptures, and recently we've been talking about what Paul in the New Testament taught about giving. And again, we want to make that differentiation between tithing and giving. And that in the New Testament, Paul does not talk about tithing as a way to minister to others, minister to God, or as any part of the law to fulfill a relationship. Instead, he spends a lot of time talking to his followers about their new heart to give. And yet he's also so practical. He's been, as a Pharisee and as a Roman citizen, he understood the need for organization and planning and strategizing. And so in this particular example, we really see him putting some of those necessary strategies in place. Because what he's talking about is raising money for those who are in need, and yet he sent out the word to gather the funds and boasted about a particular group. And he wanted to make sure that when they went to pick up the money from the group that he boasted about, that they were doing such a great job raising so much money that they actually had the money ready. He didn't want to have to go there and raise the money then, because here he's talking about what a great job they're doing. Now, when you look at this, it's not about him protecting his own reputation or saving his own face. He knows that when you give people time to give money, they are more likely to do it. And they are more likely to give more because they can plan for it. Now, not everybody's a great planner. And people change their minds. So by having asked for it once and apparently gotten some kind of a pledge, he sends people ahead of him to go pick it up or to have it ready for it to be picked up to make sure it's going to be ready. The other thing that happens is money is collected, and then when it's not used right away, it goes to other things. So these are just aspects of the wisdom of Paul that he learned through his own life experiences and through his education and training. So this is not something that he is saying, okay, this is how to do it. He's giving some practical examples through these letters. These are letters. Even though when Paul wrote them, he knew others would read them, but they were to a group of people. And they were about specific situations and specific people and specific intents. So we step back and we look, okay, what part of this is something where he's saying to apply to every church in every situation? And which do we look for? Okay, what is the example that he's laying out? What is the wisdom that we can glean from this and apply to our own situation, rather than what is the dogma or the doctrine? So let's go back to 2 Corinthians 9, verses 1 through 15, where again we're talking about giving. one of the big challenges to when you start telling people that tithing is scriptural and clearly scriptural and that it doesn't apply to today's church, they say, well, then how do we take care of those in need? How do we take care of the ministers? How do we take care of evangelical outreaches? How do we take care of the poor? Well, we don't tithe, we give. Now, giving is harder. It's a discipline. It's something you have to go to God for, and that's the big difference. Tithing is a formula. It's 10%. You give it to the church. There's no relationship there. Giving is all about relationship. It's about relationship with God. It's relationship with yourself and your family, looking at your own motives, looking at your own, how you're handling your finances. And it's relationship about who you're giving it to. And also realizing that if you give it in one place, you may not have it to give to another. So all those areas are areas that then God can intervene and interject himself in to talk to you. And that's what we want. We want God to talk to us. And we want to be available. So that's the main difference. We could even say, okay, tithing is you give 10% to your church. Well, forgiving, where do you start? How about 10% to your church? Well, then what's the difference? Because in giving, that's a starting point. You go, okay, God, I'm thinking, I've been tithing. I want to start giving. I thought I would start with the 10% that I have been giving to my church, continue to give it. Is that okay? And we start there with that, an area where we're comfortable. We're already doing something, and we start developing a conversation with the Lord of hosts, with the King of Kings, about what we're doing with our finances. And he might say, yes, continue doing that. Month later, 2 months later, 6 months later, you might feel a little nudge. A separate issue comes up. And he says, I want you to stop tithing. Or I want you to stop giving. Don't give to the church anymore. I want you to instead of giving to the church, I want you to open a separate bank account, and I want you to start saving up. There's going to be something else I want you to do with that. But it's going to take a larger amount, and I want you to set it aside now. Now, yes, you know what? You might get a knock on your door. We're not receiving your tithing envelope. What's going on? And then you say, okay, well, I talked to the Lord about it, and he's directing me in a different direction. Well, we need that. You should be giving it to us first. What is your response? Well, take it up with God. You say, look, we can pray about it right now. Come in, sit down. Let's pray about it. Let's talk to God. This is what the Lord has told me. Lord, do you want to tell them something as well? Odds are they won't know what to do. But this is an area we all have to deal with, uncomfortable situations. But why is it uncomfortable? Isn't that funny? Finances is something that is such a big part of all of our lives. We have such a hard time talking about it. So back to Paul. He's a practical guy. He knows how people work. He's had to deal with so many of the other apostles, so many of the other situations in the church. He does that through his whole life. And just as an aside, at the end of his life, he feels like he's a complete failure, like the churches are falling apart. And he has disappointed God. He has failed. That's how he ends his life. So, coming back to 2 Corinthians, and he's teaching us how to meet the needs of others. how to learn how to give. And remember, your giving muscle, you have it. If you've been born again, your main character is giving. The way love is expressed is giving. For God so loved, he gave. That is how he expressed his love. That's also how we express our love. That doesn't necessarily mean money or material goods or anything. It is just an attitude. When we are grateful to God for having unconditionally received what he has unconditionally given, we learn how to unconditionally give. And it becomes a cycle that his eternal life flows up in and through us to others. And sometimes we notice it, and sometimes we don't. Something we need to learn how to do. One of the reasons tithing is such a stronghold is because it makes it easy. It's an area of Christianity where all we have to do is write a check or fill out a form on the web, online for the church, and we're done. And that's not what God wants. See, now, when you look back at under the Old Covenant, the last thing that tithing was to them was easy. It was a big deal. They had to slaughter animals. They had to, in order to get the money to take in to pay the priests, it cost them their blood, sweat, and toil. For us, again, we just write a check. Now, sometimes it's, you know, we may be at the bottom of our budget doing that, but it's still, it doesn't usually, you know, if we're discussing this at all, it's usually something we're very comfortable with. So, again, back to 2 Corinthians. We read this last week. We ran through it pretty quick, so let's just take another running stab at it. Now, concerning the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know your willingness, about which I boast of you to the Macedonians, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has stirred up the majority. Yet I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this respect, that as I said, you may be ready. Lest if some Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to mention you, should be ashamed of this confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. Let's just stop there. So Paul is saying, rather than let's just have it be an opportunity where everybody can be generous and everybody, those who give can enjoy the giving and those who receive can enjoy the receiving. And not as a grudging obligation, since way back when you were promised we're going to give this much, so I guess we have to do it. And that's the difference of the time there. So those are the two options Paul is laying out. And neither one of those options is tithing. So verse 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, He has dispersed abroad, He has given to the poor, His righteousness endures forever. Stop again. What he's saying here is not that if you sow, plant these seeds of giving, you're going to receive in kind. What he's saying is it's the generosity part. It's the giving. The more we connect with our true nature, the more we receive the benefits of that nature. It's not about the stuff. It's about who we are. This is the grace. God makes that grace, that unconditional of his nature, more and more real to us as we embrace that grace. And he shows and expresses to us that we already have all sufficiency in all things. We have all our needs already met. And in fact, we have an abundance. Not just enough, we have more than enough. And by giving, we learn that we don't have just enough, we have more than enough. And what do we have more than enough for? For every good work. He gives us more than enough so we can give it. Now, we've talked before about being wise and making sure that who we are giving it to is who God wants it to go to. And we're wise to, you know, keep our emotions in check and keep our thinking in check. And you know, we want to make sure we're not giving and supporting things that we really, if we really looked into it, wouldn't be such good things. Some things we don't agree to. But this is the what he's saying is that that grace, that unconditional receiving, the more we understand and embrace that and spend time with God, that giving muscle is exercised and we learn that we don't have just enough, we have more than enough. And we have more than enough to give. So in verse 10, Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the need of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal sharing with them and all men, and by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. So again, we see that that circle, that cycle of grace, and how grace is expressed as giving, and how we, by giving, we receive. And we receive because we give. Because it's a thing or product or money that we give, but it's because our nature being expressed. It's eternal life flowing. And that's the economy of the kingdom. Is it moving? And those who have learned to move that economy are given more. And that seed is multiplied. And there is the increase in the fruits. And God gets the attention. And God gets the recognition by all of us. We all recognize that it is His grace, His righteousness, His seed, His liberality. And because we are in Him, we all partake of that eternal life. So Paul not only exhorts the Corinthians to live up to their promise, but it is a reminder that what they are giving was received through God's liberality. It is because they have a generous God, a gracious God, that they can give generously and graciously. Now, this is in contrast to a law relationship. You and I, we can give because God has already provided for all of our needs, and then some. Then Paul writes a letter to the Philippians. You surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. In other words, how is this, your giving, being expressed? Philippians 4, 10 through 20. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Now let's just stop for a second. This is Paul talking to the Philippians about his own needs. Verse 12. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you send aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now there's just so much that we've all been taught in this passage. And isn't Paul just covers so much in just such a short amount. They knew how to write letters back then. But one of the things to look at is in 13, it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Notice it doesn't say I can get out of all things through Christ who strengthens me. This whole passage is about Paul's willingness to be and go through whatever God, whatever situation God puts him in. This is one of the hooks we have with dealing with finances. We try to figure out how to have our needs met by giving, by tithing, by doing the right thing. That somehow that if we give the right finances, if we do a perfect thing in the money department, that our money issues aren't going to be there, that our finances are going to be fine. We won't be touched in that area. And Paul says the exact opposite, that regardless of whether he's touched in the purse or not, he is content. So he concludes that God supplies our needs according to his riches. Does he have riches? Is he able to meet our needs? What qualifications do we have to fulfill in order to have our needs met? Paul here exhorts that giving should not only be a condition of the heart, but a concerted and planned effort as well. That acknowledging the desire to care for others is not enough. It must be acted upon with joy. And go through that passage again, and you see the relationship between the Philippians and Paul, that others, other churches that he has birthed, they just don't have. Philippians took Paul as their own. They took his responsibilities for his care, for his needs, his wants. They looked after him. They wanted to. That's a totally different relationship than we go back to the Corinthians, where he's just double-checking to make sure that the money that was promised is going to be there and that they won't be grumbling about giving it. That's a total different scenario than the care that and gratitude that Paul is expressing towards the Philippians, that they were careful to take care of him. And that whenever they saw an opportunity, they wanted to take that opportunity. That it wasn't that, okay, when he said, I need some help, they would, okay, he's asked, we're going to give him some help. It's no. They kept an eye on him. They sent him care. They sent him what he needed because they knew he needed it when he needed it. They didn't wait to be asked. This speaks about relationship. Now, this is close contact relationship, and it's about meeting needs not only in finances, but think how much this must have touched Paul's heart, that somebody was looking out for him. So we will take it up here next week, and we're going to start moving into talking about some real practical applications pretty soon. But until then, you can get in touch with me at diane@therainersclub.org. Until then, have a great night. This has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great night.